From NPR News in Washington, I'm Nora Rahm. Today, General David Petraeus formally assumed control of U.S. and international troops engaged in a nearly nine-year war in Afghanistan. During a ceremony at NATO headquarters in Kabul, Petraeus said, "We are in this to win."
We're engaged in a contest of wills. Our enemies are doing all that they can to undermine the confidence of the Afghan people. In so doing, they are killing and maiming innocent civilians on a daily basis. No tactic is beneath the insurgents.
He noted that June was the deadliest month yet for international troops, but he said they are making progress against the insurgents. Vice President Joe Biden is in Baghdad, where he met with top Iraqi leaders, part of U.S. efforts to get the various political factions to agree on a new government. Earlier today, about 70 miles west of Baghdad, a woman blew herself up in a government office, killing at least three people. NPR's Kelly McGevers reports.
Iraqi police say the bomb went off in the reception area of the governor's compound in Ramadi, the capital of Anbar province. Of the wounded, more than a dozen were police. Anbar was the seat of a brutal Sunni resistance after the U.S.-led invasion of Iraq in 2003. This attack comes amid a political stalemate. It's been nearly 4 months since the country's general elections, yet Iraq's political leaders have yet to form a government. Last month, al-Qaeda's affiliate in Iraq claimed responsibility for suicide attacks on two main banks. And on Friday, unidentified gunmen assassinated a senior cleric in Anbar. At a 4th of July ceremony here, Vice President Biden said the country is slowly moving toward a lasting security and prosperity. He met separately with Iraqi officials to encourage them to end the political impasse. Kelly McEvers, NPR News, Baghdad.
Grand Ayatollah Mohammad Hussein Fadlallah died in Beirut today at the age of 75 after a long illness. He was known for his strong anti-American views. NPR's Peter Kenyon has more from Cairo.
Fadlallah was born in Iraq and grew up to become a leading Shiite Muslim cleric. He helped found Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki's Dawah Party. After moving to Lebanon, Fadlallah championed the rise of Lebanese Shiites, historically given short shrift in that country's complicated political structure. His notoriety in the West soared during Lebanon's long-running civil war, when he was linked to Iranian-backed Shiite militants whose attacks included the devastating bombing of U.S. facilities in 1983 that killed more than 260 Americans. He denied Western assertions that he was Hezbollah's guide. Fadlallah survived a number of assassination attempts, including a massive 1985 car bomb near his home that killed 80 people. Over the years, Fadlallah's militant views softened somewhat, and he condemned the 9/11 attacks as terrorism. Peter Kenyon, NPR News, Cairo.
You're listening to NPR News from Washington. An unmanned Russian space capsule docked at the International Space Station today. It's delivering tons of food, water, and supplies. The Progress cargo ship had tried to dock with the space station Friday, but failed because of a mechanical problem. The space station is orbiting about 220 miles above the Earth, carrying six crew members, three from Russia and three from the U.S. Japanese reports say the U.S. has asked Japan's government for more money to help pay for relocating a military air base on the island of Okinawa. NPR's Anthony Kuhn reports the former Japanese prime minister had resigned after reneging on his pledge to get the U.S. base off the island.
The Kyoto News Agency reports that Defense Secretary Robert Gates made the request just after the resignation of Prime Minister Yukio Hatoyama. Gates reportedly said that the cost of upgrading infrastructure and accommodating incoming U.S. personnel would cost more than originally estimated. Japan had originally planned to pitch in $2.8 billion plus an extra $3.3 billion in loans, while the U.S. would pick up the remaining $4.2 billion. Kyoto says Gates' request would require Japan to contribute several hundred million dollars more. Japan is expected to reply to Gates' request after parliamentary elections on July 11th. For now, Tokyo is preoccupied with slashing its massive public debt. Anthony Kuhn, NPR News, Beijing.
In men's tennis, Rafael Nadal swept Thomas Burdick in straight sets at Wimbledon today to win his second singles title. It was also his eighth Grand Slam championship, providing more evidence that he is the number one tennis player in the game. I'm Nora Rahm, NPR News in Washington.